You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with producer Jordan Kerner and director Walt Becker. With fun and enthusiasm, Clifford the Big Red Dog has been celebrated by millions over the years for his adorable children's books. Now, at long last, the big dog himself is finally making the jump to the big screen. In this One-on-One, we speak to producer Jordan Kerner and director Walt Becker about what defines Clifford to them, the challenges of bringing the lovable pup to life on screen, and the tension between fitting in and standing out. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. It is such a pleasure to speak with you, Jordan and Walt. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate it. Clifford is a joy. I grew up on the books myself. The film is really charming and just lovely. Thinking of you first, Jordan, what was it that made you want to bring this character to the big screen after all these years?
It's an interesting question. 20 years ago, I tried to get the rights as a producer. I had just come off of Mighty Ducks and George of the Jungle and Inspector Gadget, I think. And I saw Clifford as a character who could translate where visual effects had almost caught up with us to the point that we could make him photoreal. Actually, if I had succeeded in those days, it wouldn't be anywhere near as great a film as we hope everyone feels. But it was about 20 years ago. And then in late 2018, I got a call from Wick Godfrey, chairman then of Paramount, and Walt, asking me if I'd be interested in joining the team. And it's one of those kismet moments, you know, where you've tried and had this in your heart for so long, and all of a sudden it happens. So I would say that as we looked at it, ultimately, in 2019, as we were finishing the script and shooting the movie, there was a lot of strife around our country and around the world. And we looked at the fact that half of our audience will look at Clifford as, oh my gosh, you know, he's a big red puppy and we love him, you know, and we remember him from the books. And maybe half of our audience is going to look at him as, oh my goodness, he is 10 feet tall and probably a genetic aberrance, and we're scared, and he's this weird red color, you know, bright red, and we've never seen anything that big be bright red, and we should lock him up, and you know, we don't know anything about him, you know, in that we got to be careful. And it was really important for us to look at those two points of view and thematic elements and try to find a way that with the defining DNA of our movie being unconditional love, a way for all the different sides to start to see each other in not such different ways, in ways where we laugh and we cry and we feel in exactly the same way, and where the world community could come together in a way that would be very important. So we think our big red Clifford is a perfect example and epitome of those values and those things. How much better off we would be if we were hugging all sides were hugging each other of all different questions in this. So being people who make movies for 4 to 104, we wanted to make sure that we were making it a film, you know, completely for adults, but was absolutely appropriate for children. No violence, no sexuality, none of those things. No bad language, but it was something that could really affect the hearts and minds of those who see it.
You just mentioned you were involved in bringing stories to life like Inspector Gadget, George of the Jungle, bringing these on screen. What is it about these stories that have remained so iconic to you?
Look, for me, it's always about elevating and not denigrating an audience. I think we see movies that we wish we hadn't seen because they sully us and our emotions or our spirits. And I think that telling stories that have positive things to say is really important. You know, Gadget was a freak, And that was another way into that movie, was to allow him to be a freak. In that George of the Jungle, George was finding that his nemesis was about to build a huge hotel complex and all of that, and help, you know, partially destroy the jungle. And we can't do that to our environment. That was back in 1997. In that. And so I think the underlying messages, Charlotte's Web, certainly about that, about generations hating spiders, and everyone in the barn hates the spider until they actually see the spider as a living, breathing entity that has the same feelings of love and need and laughter that we all have. For us, these were very important elements, no matter what the movies were, in that.
Yeah, I can see that. And Walt, over to you. I was wondering, you know, as you developed this film, what elements of the books were most important to you to see translated well on the screen? What defines Clifford to you?
Well, for sure, unconditional love. That to me was the touchstone, kind of the North Star. And I think that's just true with not just dogs and their owners, you know, but for us, you know, we wanted to put a bunch of moments that people would recognize in the books, you know, like Clifford does save one of the neighbors, and Clifford has, you know, a couple of different moments that people will recognize in the book. But really what we wanted to do is just take the spirit of the books and then put it into this wonderful adventure movie. So for us, it was really about, I guess the thing that stood out to me, even when I was younger, was just the love that Emily had for that dog and the love that the dog had for Emily. So that what was nice about the film is, you know, she in the movie is feeling very alone, and gosh, tween years are not easy, especially when you go to a new school. And so that was another thing that was important, is actually having her sensing her aloneness and her outsideness, you know, and then having Clifford feel the same way. You know, he suddenly feels alone, outside, different, you know, and so the two mirror each other. And, but I would say even more than just the different episodes from the book, it was more important for us, I think, just to cement the bond and, you know, give it, raise that up, just the love between her and her dog and the power that, you know, they both can have because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That comes through beautifully. You know, continuing with you, Walt, as well, when it was a really interesting, decision, or at least to me, I thought it was really interesting how you went for this very realistic look for Clifford. You know, he's not Clifford the Big Red Dog from the books. He's a dog. And I mean, and it comes through very, very well. I was wondering, what were the biggest challenges in bringing him to life?
Yeah, it was good. We definitely in the beginning said we don't want to make him talk. You know, because in the books he didn't talk. And then the question becomes, in a live action, world, do we bring kind of more of a cartoon look? And both of us just thought that wasn't just inherently didn't feel right. Like it was not going, first of all, it makes it a little harder. You know, we've already, you know, kind of broken the suspension of disbelief, you know, if he's too cartoony. And I just felt like we wouldn't attach to him. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't be telling as true a story or real a story as we could. So, you know, making him photoreal, like Jordan said, I mean, we definitely could not have done that even 10 years ago. I don't think. But the challenge is, and I'm glad you could ease into it, but sort of presenting it in context of the film and go, okay, here's how Clifford looks in this filmic universe and not the books. Right, Jordan? I mean,
yeah, I would add to that, that if you look at all the TV series, he's presented as a line character as he is in the book, a line drawing. And so to the, you know, people always say, well, why make this movie? And we felt it was both the underlying DNA of the message, but it was also the as Walt and I both said, the unconditional love that was in the books that Bridwell, Norman Bridwell, brought to them. But the idea that you actually have a live, breathing, real dog who just happens to grow from being a little puppy to a very large puppy, in that was the joy of making this particular movie in that way. And it was, I have to say, a joy for everybody on the set. And if I could just add two other things based on your question, one in terms of the development of it, there were two issues. One was Walt's idea, which was a great idea from him seeing War Horse on Broadway, of having two puppeteers and a large Clifford, who, for all intents and purposes, these puppeteers found a way to make him emotional and make him funny and make him a live presence. So the actors were acting with another actor with that. And it helped everybody on the set in that. And secondly, Walt and I spent probably the better part of a year in a dark room together with a guy named Mike, getting exactly what a real life dog would look like if he were Clifford's character from Bridwell's books, where he wasn't made into a cartoon. He's still alive, but he actually is bright red. So
I thought he looks great. I really do. And the detail on even just when he's moving and he, as his fur is sort of going on, I thought this is very, very well done. And you're right. Like, that couldn't have been done years ago.
Well, it's hats off to MPC, who also did Lion King and Jungle Book. They did those animals and characters. They were really in London and in Montreal and Los Angeles. They were terrific.
Yeah, they did a wonderful job. Just as we're starting to wrap up here, I know you've mentioned unconditional love, and that's certainly a key and core to the film. There's also this interesting tension between standing out and fitting in, I thought, to the story. And to you both, I was wondering, why did that resonate with you? What was that? What were you trying to communicate?
Well, as Walt said earlier, dealing with a tween, it's a hard time of life anyway. And even though for me, it's a long time ago, Walt, not so long ago, we understand those feelings of not fitting in and of anxiety and, you know, things that I have three daughters, things that make them anxious. The youngest is now a senior in high school, but when they were themselves people who were going through those early years, I remember how hard it was for them and how hard it was for, you know, to fit in. And we think that along with the mom, who is a loving, wonderful mother, who's working really hard to keep the family afloat, and this crazy uncle who has to grow up a little bit during the course of the movie and actually become an uncle to his niece, along with Clifford and what he learns and grows, is something that was very important for us to communicate to an audience of 4 to 104.
Yeah. And it's nice to say that, because it is, you know, she just wants to fit in, you know, because she's a 12-year-old girl, you know, and that's what everybody just wants to fit in. And then it's nice that you picked up that Clifford kind of feels the same way. He wants to fit in, you know, and suddenly he's different color than most dogs, and he's 10 feet tall, and you know, to try to have people accept him, even though he's different, you know, it's hard. And I think that also bonds them through the whole movie.
Well, the film is a joy. It is so much fun to watch. My wife and my kids, we all loved it. And so thank you to you both, Jordan, Walt. I really appreciate the time, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Steve. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Have a great day. Hey.